We have often heard the phrase, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Today's message takes us from a shortage of workers in flower fields to increasing numbers of workers in the mission field, using analogies of bees pollinating flowers, turning them into a bountiful harvest of fruit. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Blue Lake Presbyterian Church. Today's sermon is titled Plentiful Harvest, and it is based on Matthew 9:35 through 10:8. To all the fathers in the audience and listening online, happy Father's Day. On a day like today, I can't help but think about my dad, who passed away 4 years ago this week. He grew up during the Great Depression and endured the German occupation in World War II. His moral compass, his work ethic, warm heart, his love for others, and his resounding humility always will be an inspiration to me. And I'm forever thankful for everything that he taught me. I remember helping out my dad on the farm while growing up, back in Holland. And one particular December, it was extremely cold. And even the crops in the greenhouse were growing very slowly. And then suddenly around Christmas time, it got warm, and all the daffodils and all the tulips all came in together. Well, the whole family and even some of the neighbors pitched in to get all the flowers picked. The harvest was plentiful, but the laborers were few. Then fast forward to 2017, just 2 weeks ago. I attended the California Cut Flower Commission, Board of Commissioners. They had a meeting in Sacramento. The Cut Flower Commission is a state agency. It's the lead advocacy and marketing organization representing all the flower farmers across the state of California. The board meets twice a year, and it's a great opportunity to catch up with fellow flower farmers and see what's going on. Now, in some of the discussion, the issue of labor kept coming up. Some farmers reported that they didn't have enough workers to pick all the flowers this spring. And all the abundant rainfall this season had cleansed the soil of all the salinity. It strengthened the plants and yielded a plentiful harvest. But ultimately, there were not enough hands to get all those flowers picked. Now in Arcata, we were blessed with sufficient labor this spring. Teen Challenge that we have here this morning did a fantastic job, and we had some special needs team members from DES and some students from HSU helped out. But listening to those stories from the other flower farmers about their labor shortage problems, it brought back some painful memories of 2008 and 2009, when our company experienced an immigration action by ICE, the Immigration Customs Enforcement, and we lost nearly 80% of our workforce in Arcata at that time. Even 9 years later, the memories are still vivid. Now, Jesus used the analogy of a plentiful harvest and not having enough laborers in terms of spreading the message of the good news. And that brings us to today's scripture reading of Matthew 9:35 through 10:8. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon, the Canaan, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Well, friends, the Gospel of Matthew is one of the longest in the Bible. It is named after Matthew, who was the equivalent of an IRS agent in today's terms, before becoming a disciple of Jesus. Well, you can kind of sense his affinity with money, as there are more references to money in the Gospel of Matthew than any of the other Gospels. Matthew wrote his Gospel to underscore to the Jewish people that Jesus of Nazareth was the promised Messiah of the Hebrew Scriptures. Matthew actually contains 65 Old Testament quotations, more than any of the other Gospels. And in today's reading, Jesus instructs his disciples to perform the same works that he does, calling them into a ministry marked by healing and liberation, the blind seeing, the lame walking, the lepers cleansed, the deaf hearing. And all these signs accentuate the proclamation of the good news. Jesus sent out his 12 disciples with the following instructions: go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, isn't this a bit confusing? Their very first mission is to the lost sheep of Israel, the people who were promised a Messiah. I suppose it was reasonable to assume that the Israelites would be the most receptive to hearing about the kingdom. Then, thinking back of the days in 2008, when we didn't have enough people to get all the flowers picked, to get all the work done, I remember how we focused on the most necessary tasks. For instance, planting was delayed, and we prioritized picking the flowers for our customers instead. But we first picked the most valuable flowers, like lilies, and in particular, oriental lilies, like stargazer. We did not have enough people to pick all the crops. Well, so it was with Jesus. He only had 12 disciples. And according to verse 36, he saw the crowds and he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. But with 12 guys, you can only do so much. So he instructs them to prioritize and focus on the Hebrews, the people of the house of Israel. Well, eventually, the kingdom would include Samaria and the pagan territory, a kingdom for Jew and Gentile alike, the beginnings of the mission that ultimately was to reach the ends of the earth. The Bible reads in Acts 1:8, "You shall be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." In other words, evangelism starts with its own kind, and then it branches out. Jesus believed that the Jewish people were ripe and ready for the gospel, ready for the kingdom. The time was ready. The time was ripe. In Willow Creek, we grow a crop called Ilex verticillata. These are the red berries for Christmas. And I brought a picture to remind everyone. This is what Ilex verticillata looks like when you buy it in the store. But in order to have a plentiful harvest of these beautiful berries in the fall and in the winter, three things are important. First of all, it takes female plants with lots and lots of flowers. Then the other thing that it requires is male plants that are blooming at exactly the same time. And the third thing that is required are bees. Bees for pollination. And in May and June, around this time of year, there are tens of millions of these little flowers blooming in the fields in Willow Creek. The flowers are plentiful, but the work of pollinating needs to be done by bees. And depending on temperature, an individual flower that you see on this stem may be blooming for 1 or 2 days. So when they start blooming, these bees literally are busy bees. For years, we had an abundance of bees all throughout the field. Well, unbeknownst to us, they came from a beekeeper from across the river. Then one year, around blooming time, we spotted only a few wild bees in the field. But the bees of years past were absent. A plentiful harvest, but only a few workers. By the time we figured out that his beekeeper was no longer there, but no longer had his beehives in Willow Creek, we quickly brought in bees from a beekeeper in Fortuna. But valuable time had passed, and many flowers had not pollinated. That year, we had a poor ilex crop, and we learned a hard lesson. Since then, we called the beekeeper well ahead of time, before the ilex starts blooming, for him to bring in his beehives. It's like that with folks that have a hunger and thirst of the soul. The gospel message at the right time can make the difference between a flower that wilts away in days or a flower that is pollinated and grows into a nice branch with beautiful berries, a branch full of fruit. Jesus said in Matthew 7:15, "You will know them by their fruit." Well, there are people all around us that are ripe and ready for Jesus to enter their lives. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Well, people are willing to do church work in order to keep a church running smoothly. But it is much harder to find disciples who evangelize to help people know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Well, today's reading is a precursor to the Great Commission. The Great Commission, in which Jesus instructs his disciples after his resurrection in Matthew 28:19, "So you must go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And you can be sure that I am always with you to the very end." Well, what do we do when there are millions of people who are ripe for the gospel? Ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers and make new disciples for Jesus Christ. Well, earlier this week, I attended a flower conference in downtown Chicago. I was asked to give a presentation on the state of the domestic flower industry. And a little over a mile from our hotel was the Moody Bible Institute. And it made me think of a story I heard about D.L. Moody, who had sponsored a one-month-long Northfield Bible Conference. And he encountered a student from Princeton named Robert Wilder. This fellow was filled with the Spirit, and he had a heart for souls and mission. They organized a night at the conference, and students were genuinely moved as they heard about lost souls and spiritual needs around the world, including China, Japan, in India. And on the last day of the conference, 100 students had signed the Missionary Declaration, known as the Mount Hermon 100. This led to the Student Volunteer Movement for Foreign Missions, involving colleges like Oxford and Cambridge, Harvard, Princeton, and Yale. And eventually, 160 colleges participated. In 1886, there were less than 400 missionaries. By 1890, 900. By the year 1900, 5,000. By 1915, 10,000. And by 1945, 22,000 missionaries went across the world to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, according to the travelingteam.com website, there are 400,000 missionaries worldwide today. And in the part of the world that is referred to as the 1040 window, which basically means the population of people between a latitude of 10 and 40, meaning that window of countries, there are over 3 billion people that are unreached by the gospel. In Asia and Muslim-dominated countries, the percentage of Christians is very low. For instance, in Japan, it's less than 2%. Well, over Memorial Day weekend, I did something very unusual. I kicked back and watched movies with my wife, including the movie Silence. And the movie Silence tells the story of Jesuit missionaries in 7th century Japan. And although the film is based on a fictional novel, many of the events and people depicted in the movie Silence are real. During the mid-1500s, the Jesuits started planting seeds of Christianity in Japan. And an estimated 400,000 Japanese were baptized. But by 1620, missionaries were officially expelled from the country. A number of priests went underground to minister to the Christian community. Among them was Father Ferreira, the lead Jesuit missionary. But he was the first to renounce his faith under severe torture. The story depicts a gruesome and barbaric persecution of Christians in Japan. It is a sad story, but it explains why, after for hundreds of years, the fruit of the Spirit disappeared from Japan. It's like when the beekeeper takes the bees away. Or does anyone remember melatonin? A very toxic insecticide that kills all the bees? No bees, no pollination, no fruit. But if evangelization is not impeded, remarkable things can happen. In 1945, the Christian population in South Korea was 2%, just like Japan today. 70 years later, it has grown to nearly 30% of the population. And as a matter of fact, there are more Presbyterians in Korea than in the entire United States of America. Well, while driving to the farm 5:30 yesterday morning, I listened to an interview of Ed Cannon, president of the Far East Broadcasting Company. And a link of this interview will be available on the website. And it was amazing to hear what this organization is doing, spreading the good news of the gospel in 50 countries. They receive 2 million listener responses every year on how people's lives are transformed by the message of Jesus Christ. But the China story in particular caught my attention. FEBC started broadcasting in China in the late 40s. But there was no indication that anyone was listening to the program. 13 years later, the first letter arrived. And this is what it said. I want to know more about the man you speak of, Jesus. And by the way, many, many people are listening faithfully to your broadcast. In the interview, Ed Cannon reported that last year, they received 800,000 letters from listeners in China. And tens of millions of people signed on to the download podcast over the internet. The ministry in China has expanded wildly. Well, God is at work in Africa as well. Last summer, I met Kelly Landini and his wife Vicky from Zimbabwe. And through Campus Crusades for Christ, he leads a ministry in that country. Well, just last Wednesday, he sent me a note and wrote that while speaking at the Mabel Rain Girls High School, 47 girls gave their life to Christ. God has used Kelly and his wife in tremendous ways. And this brought many fruits in his kingdom. As he ministers digitally in countries in southern and eastern Africa, but also in churches, fathers and mothers, the vulnerable and disadvantaged in our society. Friends, the harvest is plentiful. Jesus told his disciples, "Go out and spread the good news." Now, how can we share Jesus is concerned for those who are harassed and helpless. The sheep without a shepherd. Today's society is no different than it was then. Hungry and thirsty souls in a broken world. The good news of the gospel will transform lives. But sometimes people are not receptive to listen. Well, that doesn't mean that we don't tell the story. Just like 13 years of ministry in China with no response. But the FEBC staff persisted. And people were listening. And today, there are an estimated 50 million Christians in China and growing. When folks do become receptive to the gospel, when the right opportunity arises, we, as believers in Christ, are called to share our testimony. Just like that flowering ilex needs the bees just at the right time, doing their good work. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:19, "Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us." Folks, let the message of hope and healing and forgiveness spread through our community, our country, and abroad to all ends of the world, of the earth. Let the love of Jesus fill our hearts and souls. Let us be inspired to step up as workers in the plentiful harvest. Thank you. God bless you. Amen.